But the Giants have won their last three season openers. They'll try to win four in a row for the first time since they won five straight, 2001 through 2005. We love the numbers of baseball. Even though they mean nothing for today, it gives us some fabric to look back on. Paul White joins us. And, of course, Paul, very special in the baseball world, formerly of USA Today and now sort of an expert, a consultant in the game of baseball. Nice to have you with us. How are you?
Happy opening day, Marty.
Yeah. What does opening day mean to you, Paul? You've been through so many of these. When you just hear the words, what does it mean?
Well, you know, it's kind of funny. It's changed for me a little bit in the sort of semi-retirement. It used to be, oh, good, I'm home for spring training, see the family, and get, like, even what Jeff Samardzija was just saying, get into a routine, you know, because, as you know, it's so different in spring. Everything's built around mornings and early afternoons. And the rhythm of the season is mostly night games. And but, you know, for a guy who grew up in the Northeast, it usually means we ought to have good weather pretty soon. So, you know, that's always a big part of it.
Yeah, it is. And plus the optimism of opening day. And we just had Nick Pecoro on about the Diamondbacks. And he said, well, you know, if Corbin does this and Robbie Ray does that and Tywon Walker keeps it together and Greinke does this, and and Shelby Miller can throw 97. Maybe things could happen, and then you know, a month later, someone you know, they're 7-23. But for opening day, everybody has that start of the race, and the beauty of baseball is you don't know whether someone's going to turn out to be the next Mickey Mantle or Willie Mays or something like that, or the next Juan Marichal. Because everybody has that hope on opening day, and that's what gets me about it. I love that part of the optimism of life, of the world, and what's ahead on this special day. That's what it means to me.
Yeah, and I think the whole key to your season usually is how many if this and if that do you have on your list? You only got a couple, it's going to be a pretty good summer. If you got a bunch of them, like Nick does of the Diamondbacks, he's right, you know, probably going to be a long summer.
Well, it's funny you say that. I always call it the if factor, and it's exactly what I say. If you got too many ifs, it's trouble. It's absolutely trouble. Paul, you've covered baseball for so long. Do you put a lot of stock into spring training? How do you look at the stats out of spring training? Because we've got
I don't really. You know, every veteran baseball guy, I tell you that the 2 months that you don't pay attention to or don't overreact to are September and March. And, you know, there are certain things you look for in spring training. One of the things I like to watch for is I like to look for, like, cumulative stats. Now, I don't care what a guy's batting average was so much, or a guy's ERA, because you don't know how much he was working on certain things, but a lot of times, how many at-bats a guy gets, how many innings a reliever gets, starts to tell you things about what a team thinks of a guy. They want to take that longer look. You know, if you track the at-bats from your camp this spring, you start to see they were looking for guys to fill in that left field hole. Who are they going to be, the bench guys? And the guys that kept getting those at-bats, Marrero's a great example. All of a sudden, it's like, you know, I kind of started noticing that. I was like, wait a minute, they do like this guy. Yeah. He's not just another 4A guy that they're going to give a bunch of at-bats and send them off and we'll never see him again.
You know, it's funny. I was talking to Andy Baggerly earlier, and I said, well, you know, you look at Crawford and Posey and Belt and Panic. They're, you know, 28, 29, 30, whatever it is, 27. And I said, boy, guys are entering the prime years of their careers. And, you know, during those prime years, you could have career seasons, the stats can go up. And Andy sort of maybe took the position, I think, a little bit that, well, we've seen what they can do. Maybe the ceiling isn't much higher because the game has turned into the Mike Trouts, the Chris Bryants, the young, young players. And if you don't have the young, young superstars, maybe you're at a disadvantage. Now, I always thought you wanted to get the guys who were 28 to 31. And they were the stars, but has the game changed?
Yeah, I do think that number's moved down a bit. 28 was always that number we grew up with. Boy, when a guy's 28, he's right in the middle of it.
Yeah.
But it is a little bit younger, I think, especially for offensive players. Pitchers, maybe not so much. A lot of times it does take them a little longer to develop. But, I do think it's gotten a little bit younger. And you talk about the Giants and their situation. You know, I'm sure fans still kind of think of Belton, Posey, and Crawford. Oh, yeah, they're all those kids that we've been bringing along. Well, the next thing you're going to be thinking about in the next 3 years is, oh, no, our window might be closing. I mean, that's the next step, and it's not that far off. It's scary.
Yeah, and then Andy said the same thing. But I said the window's open now. Because when you look at Bumgarner and Cueto and Samardzija and Moore, and now you bring in Melanson, who's had the most saves in baseball since 2014, now all of a sudden, you know, you're more of a veteran team, and you can pitch, and you can catch the ball, and that's kind of what it means. So I think the window's open now, but I agree, 3 or 4 years from now, things may be different.
Oh, yeah, and I think this is the soundest roster the Giants have had since before the beginning of this run, because it's a lot more stable in a lot of ways. Just the roster itself and the depth, having that proven closer, the front of the rotation, the solid guys through the middle that are dependable. You're not guessing what kind of years you're going to have. That is the one thing about this age group you're talking about, and Andy's probably right. You know what you're going to get from those guys barring a serious injury.
Well, I agree. The National League is intriguing to me, much different than the American League in terms of teams that can make the playoffs. And, there's five spots, and I look at the Dodgers and Giants. I look at the Cubs. I look at Washington and the Mets. Okay. I'm not sure about the Cardinals and the Pirates. Have we sort of turned into the NBA? Just get through the 162 and be healthy and just get in and they'll see what you can do, as opposed to, you know, having 11 or 12 teams that could vie for a playoff spot.
I think certainly in the National League we have. I mean, you name five, they're all legit. There's going to be, I think the Cardinals are, the starting pitching depth took a hit this spring, but I still think they're right in. I think last year was sort of an off year for them. That was rebuilding by Cardinals standards. But maybe there's another team out there. You know, Pittsburgh's got so much potentially great young pitching. If that falls into place, yeah, they could be okay. I'm not sure there's anybody else out there that you can, people like to talk about the Rockies offense. Well, the Phillies have some great young arms. I think those teams are a year or two away. But at best, you probably have six teams for five spots by the time we get to the All-Star break in the National League.
Boy, so just get in pretty much and, just build your team to, build the bullpen and just sort of guide your team to just get in. And you don't want to play in the wild card game. You'd like to win your division. You don't need that. But
that doesn't even matter in the West, Marty. Come on, you got Bumgarner and they got Kershaw. You're good in the wild card game.
Yeah, it's true. No, it's very true. Paul White with us. Always nice to talk with him about what's going on. When you look at some of the stars of baseball today, and I know everyone does predictions on MVP and all this kind of stuff. Boy, a lot of kids, a lot of young people they're throwing into these predictions. I don't know, you got any thoughts about MVPs or Cy Youngs?
Cy Young, I think this is Bumgarner's year, because I think the Giants, I think they're going to win that division, and I think this is the one where he steps up and is all every bit as good as the Kershaws and all the, and better than Arrieta and all the rest. I think this is his probably best regular season. We've seen what he's done in the playoffs. He's been awful good in the regular season, too. I like him a lot. Okay. I think the MVP in the National League is going to be very intriguing. I think it's going to be one of those situations, who makes a difference for a team? You know, everybody wants to talk about Chris Bryant. He already showed us last year. I think on one of these teams, some guy, an elite-level player, is going to push his team over the top. He's going to be a difference maker and might end up winning that thing. That's why I thought Danny Murphy in Washington last year kind of got short shrift. I don't think he was the best player in the National League, but with all the other issues that team had with Harper and everybody else, Murphy put them over the top and into the playoffs. I think a guy like that that intrigues me is Dexter Fowler with the Cardinals.
Mm-hmm.
I think he could be a real difference maker. I know they're not going to catch the Cubs, even though he left the Cubs and go to the Cardinals, but he could be the one difference in the makeup of the Cardinals. He could be, he's my sleeper guy.
All right, very good. My sleeper team, Brewers. Their farm system has got a ton of players, and sometimes the way the game is going with all these young players coming in, I think the Brewers may be my sleeper team this year. That's it. All right, I'm going to allow you to make what we like to call the outrageous prediction. And we have all sorts of things, you know, Chris Marrero hitting 25 homers by the All-Star break and stuff like that. I'll give you a shot here and give you a chance. Maybe one thing that no one is really even considering, and who knows, sometimes these things happen. You want to take a shot at that?
Sure. Actually, I'm glad you didn't ask me who I thought the worst team in baseball was, because I was going to say the Brewers. but I think the team that nobody wants to talk about this year that sneaks in the playoffs is Tampa Bay. I think they're going to pitch lights out in a division that is very winnable because the American League East is the most balanced in the game. I think Chris Archer and the return of Alex Cobb and Jake Odorizzi, people don't realize how good that pitching staff is in a division that could be very winnable. Boston might still win it, but I think Tampa Bay is a playoff team.
All right, very good. All right, I love the outrageous predictions because, believe me, some of these things do come true, and that it sort of epitomizes what baseball is all about. You got to play the games and see what happens. Paul, thanks so much as always, and it's great to have you on. And I know when you talk ball that it's a holiday or opening day, and it's all right ahead of us. So best to the family, and I appreciate having you on.
Hey, anytime, Marty. It's a pleasure.
All right, very good. All right, Paul White. Boy, he put together USA Today and did a great job of it. Always gives a good perspective on baseball. Wow. Boy, it's moving right along. This is right, Adam. This is the way the show goes. It's opening day. We fly through this thing, and it's fun.
And we're officially underway. The Rays and the Yankees have started now. They're in the top of the first. And I like what Paul White said about the MVP there in the National League. It sort of reminds you when Buster won it. He wasn't necessarily statistically the best player that year, but he made the biggest difference on the team. It's not always the best player. It's the most valuable player to his team. So who's going to push his team over the top? I like that take.
Well, I'll tell you some. Brandon Crawford, if you had to pick an MVP of the Giants, and, you know, who knows what could happen. But Brandon Crawford, for what he did out of the WBC, and we did the show last night of predicting, you know, who's going to lead the Giants in average and homers, RBIs. Crawford got a lot of love. And if he has that kind of season and the Giants win the division, I think he's got a heck of a chance, especially coming off the WBC. And now he's well known. If he had that kind of season, why not?
And to your point, I think another guy who could do that is Belt, batting in a different hole this year, up in the two hole. He's going to see some different pitches. He may get on base a lot. And if they do a few of those platoon splits with him where he's not facing the Kershaws, he could have a real big year.
Yeah. Well, I'm waiting. I'm just waiting. And I think he is, too. You know, he's a gap-to-gap guy. The park kills him. It really does for the home runs. And, of course, everyone looks for that big number of home runs. You put him in Citizens Bank Park or Yankee Stadium or a place like that, he's 30. He's going to hit 30. So the park does take away a lot from him.